This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 94 WIP. Good morning, everybody. John Johnson filling in for Howard Eskin, who's in Minneapolis for the Super Bowl, of course. He will join us this hour. We're broadcasting from the beautiful Borgata Casino and Spa in Atlantic City, right outside of the Gypsy Bar. I'll tell you what. I don't know how you feel. This has been the longest week of my life. Every single day feels like multiple days. Thankfully, we are, I want to say 24 hours, but we're one day away from the Eagles taking on the Patriots in Super Bowl 52. These 2 weeks have felt like an eternity. Thankfully, we're almost there. So last night, I'm covering the Sixers game, and listen, the Sixers are a topic for a week from now. But more to the point, the drive to the game, seeing the Eagle flags on cars and getting that feeling inside. And I take 95 to get to the Wells Fargo Center, and turning that corner on 95 South right before Broad and seeing the stadium complex, I look over at Citizens Bank Park. The scoreboard's on. Bright green. Says, good luck, Eagles. Clear as day. Get right past the link, and you get that first sight of the Wells Fargo Center. 360 degrees of green trim at the top. All right, there we go. Starting to feel it. And last night at the game was brotherly love night. You know, the Sixers showing support of the Eagles. They gave out everybody Eagles T-shirts, dog masks, lights dim for pregame intros. You look up at the Jumbotron where they would usually have, you know, it's like a hype video for the Sixers game of the night. And it's a compilation of Sixers and Eagles highlights. Crowd goes bananas. You know, I get goosebumps up my arm watching it. And by the way, if you're interested, I posted it on my Twitter account, the pregame video in its entirety. They did such a phenomenal job with it. Right before tip-off, Eagles chants began. They lasted the entire game. These are people that paid to go to a Sixers game. The entire game, it's Eagles chants. Easily 100 of them. From start to finish, the E-A-G-L-E-S chants throughout the game. Loud fight songs during commercial breaks. And over the last 2 weeks on WIP, last week, you start with the excitement and coming to the reality that the Eagles are, in fact, in the Super Bowl, and who deserves the credit. Then you turn that page and you hit Super Bowl week, and it became a deeper look at X's and O's and matchups and schemes, and you try to be as objective as you possibly can be. And we came to one conclusion. The Eagles are, in fact, a better team than the New England Patriots. And as unexpected as this ride has been, whether you see it as a Cinderella season or the start of something, the Birds are a better team. And listening to the station, I do have to calm everybody down just a little bit. Because listening to this station over the last 2 weeks, as excited as everybody is, and all justifiably so, you'd think it's going to be a blowout Sunday night. A blowout in the Eagles' favor en route to their first Lombardi. And I say this, by God, I hope you're right. But I can promise you it will not be that way. They are the defending champs for a reason. They have arguably the greatest head coach and quarterback in NFL history, no matter how you feel about them. And they find a way every single season to do so. I have an all-important question for you this morning, in addition to your thoughts that you would bring Howard. And again, he will join us at some point this morning, and Mark Lawrence will join us to close out the show. In your opinion, what will be the key to the Eagles beating New England? I'm not looking for, we all know there's two dozen things they have to do in order to beat the defending champs. And they've overcome so much already, so it feels like it's meant to be. But what I mean what is the key? Something very specific they absolutely have to do no matter what. And if they don't, they will lose. What is that thing? 888-729-9494 and #9494 on your AT&T and Verizon wireless cell phone. I'll start. Now, my key is not something very specific. It's more of a broad statement. But when I explain it, you'll completely understand. This is in respect to Doug Peterson. Give New England zero respect. No respect. Let me explain. Anyone can read their resume, and it is unbelievable. From winning the Super Bowl five times to eight consecutive seasons of 12 wins or more, they've won the AFC East 15 of the last 17 seasons. Those are all remarkable feats that are so hard to look past. If you can get past the glimmer and shine and high gloss of, you're looking at the Patriots logo. That's what you're looking at when you see all these numbers. You have to look past that. By reputation, it's very intimidating. If you can go beyond that and shield yourself from what their accomplishments have been and look at the now, this Eagles team has to do what Jacksonville did not, what the Atlanta Falcons of last year did not do, and so many that came in between and before them. But those are the two most notable that everybody can recognize with. What they have to do is spit on the New England logo. Not literally. Step on their throat. The Jaguars in the AFC Championship led 20-10 in the fourth quarter. 20-10. Then they laid back. They got more relaxed defensively and offensively. Ah, it's all right. We're still up double digits. No way they're going to come back. We'll hold them. They gave Brady just a smidgen of room to work with. And he gutted them. The Falcons fell asleep in the Super Bowl. And we look, you know, at the time, how could we blame them? But now that you're able to look back in hindsight, and you're saying, my goodness, they were up so much, they didn't care. No, that's all right. They can have a couple long successful drives resulting in touchdowns, and it's all right. They're killing the clock for us. We have such a comfortable lead. It doesn't matter. We'll close this out. And you kick your feet back and you blink your eyes like, oh my God, this game is tied, and it's too late. New England's completely in rhythm. They're finding a way, and you're running in place, and you don't know what to do, and you saw the result. So no matter how many points the Eagles, I say this knocking on wood, could or might lead by Sunday night, run up the scoreboard, make it a blowout, forget sportsmanship and, oh, well, we don't want to embarrass them. No! If you have the ability to score as many points as possible and they're giving you that wiggle room, do it. No matter how high, show them zero respect. The good news is, I think we have the head coach that will have no problem disrespecting them and stepping on their throat. Do not let them get up. From all the gutsy fourth down plays that Doug has decided to go for, whether it's this season or his rookie season as head coach, that's one sign. But when you get into the playoffs, that's when you truly find out about your head coach and your players. When the national spotlight is on you, you are the game in the NFL for that 3.5-hour period. And anybody who's an NFL fan is watching you, and some who are casual or may not even be fans. That's when you get the true test. Some guys step up to the limelight. Other guys fold. Late in the second quarter, NFC Championship game against Minnesota, Doug Peterson showed me so much. I mean, his game planning has been remarkable and exceeded any expectation I could ever have, and I'll forever be apologetic to him for my thoughts on him when he was hired. But late in the fourth quarter, when they came up with a big stop against Minnesota and they're up 21-3, Eagles are up 21-3. Minnesota punts the ball back to the Eagles. What's there, a minute left in the half? And I'm sitting there, you know, I'm watching the game with my father. I'm like, all right, well, I can't be any happier with this. I'm going to get up. I'm going to grab something to snack. I'll go to the bathroom during halftime. They're going to down the ball anyway. Just as I'm getting off the couch and I turn, I'm like, why isn't he downing the ball? I'm like, wait a minute. Doug wants to end this game right now at halftime. And he drives the team downfield in the closing minute of the second quarter. That told me so much about Doug Peterson. How unpredictable he can be. And how gutsy and aggressive that he is. And despite being the disciple of Andy Reid and everything that he has done to prove that he can be take that next step and learn all the good from Andy and take out all the bad, that is something I never saw coming. That type of aggressiveness. So no matter, there's no one better in the NFL, in NFL history, in my opinion, at making halftime adjustments than Bill Belichick. Like it or hate it, he is unbelievable at it. Which is why having a coach like Doug Peterson can make all the difference in the world. Because he won't care. He won't say, and I say this, my goodness, I hope this comes true. If they're in the same situation and the Eagles are up like 21-7 and they get the ball back in the closing minute of the second quarter, what we saw last week against Minnesota makes me say, my goodness, he's not going to sit back and say we have a lead. Let's just play it safe. You don't want to turn the ball over. We'll head to the locker room up 2 touchdowns. It makes me feel like he's not going to care. He'll try to drive upfield and go up by even more points. So back to my point. The key for the Eagles to beat New England, in my opinion, something very specific that if they do not do, they will lose. They have to give them no respect. 888-729-9494 and #9494 on your AT&T and Verizon wireless cell phone is how you join the show. You're more than welcome to tweet the show at John Johnson WIP, J-O-N Johnson WIP. I'll retweets as the show goes on. As I said, Howard Eskin will join us from Minneapolis. We'll get some insight on the players. Practices, which they weren't in pads, which really surprised me, to the distractions of Super Bowl week, which is something New England has a huge advantage over the Eagles when it comes to this, having been there as many times as they are, and you really get caught up, you know, in everything else other than the game itself in Super Bowl week, because it's a whole different world, even though it's in Minneapolis and there's next to nothing to do outside of a mall there. But there's obligations to your family. There is, regardless of its location, Super Bowl week is full of parties. Really good parties with A-list celebrities. And these type of parties, they don't start, oh, come on over, the party starts at 6 o'clock at night, we'll have dinner and hors d'oeuvres. No. These are parties that start at 11 o'clock at night that don't end till the sun comes up. And this is where Doug Peterson becomes even more important because you have to set curfews with your players. It's not that you don't trust them, but it's so different. You know, and when you're at press conference, you're at practice during the day, and then you have press conferences for 2 hours, and then you have an entire night to kill. Yeah, you'll have family obligations that people that are there out of town for the experience, and you go out to dinner with them, and you do the whole mall thing, and what else is there to do, and then there's the whole night. Then you have the ability where you're invited to all these parties. You're playing in the Super Bowl. Doesn't matter if you're a special teams guy who most don't know by name, to the most notable stars. Everybody's invited. And you can get lost at why you're there and lose track of yourself and lose your focus. So I'll be interested to see what Howard has to say when he does call in. 888-729-9494 and #9494 on your AT&T and Verizon wireless cell phone. Let's go to the phones here. Who's up first here? Bill in Mayfair is on WIP. What's up, Bill? Thank you for holding.
Hey, my friend, you're pulling at my heartstrings, number one. I'm coming at you live from Frankfurt and Cotman.
Very okay. Hard. I can only imagine what that would be like 10:30 Sunday night. If I'm not going to say it. I'll knock on wood.
No, let's keep praying. However, opening up your program with the Cranberries, I want to give a shout-out and rest in peace to Dolores Reardon, one of my favorite bands. Anyway, growing up on Chippendale Street here in Mayfair is an incredible time because back in the 70s, obviously when the Flyers won, we went to Frankfurt and Cotman. And we spoke 2 weeks ago, you and I, about the polls and how they you were questioning whether it was the city or the employer.
Yes, yes.
The owners of the stores.
Right.
And I found out firsthand, and I think you probably got, you guys probably discussed it somewhere along the lines in WIP, which, by the way, I do love. You guys are incredible. It is the city that greases the poles.
Right.
Okay. Keep these kids in the
shenanigans. Which they're not. Well, are they going to be doing it? I know they're doing something, but
it's
it
done.
Will not be. Are they not it's doing done. Anything at all because it wasn't working?
Well, no. The poles are done. They're already greased.
Oh. Oh. Okay. Jeez. Oh,
yeah.
Well, I mean, you put that kind of grease on there probably the last 6 months.
True. And of course, the shenanigans are down to a minimum. It's not like it was in the 70s when the Flyers won and you know, we had the fun back there, people streaking and stuff. Yeah, you get a couple knuckleheads. But
I mean, but something like this would be more of a, I mean, it wouldn't, I'm trying to describe what I feel the scene would be like. It would be more of a scene of love and, you know, hugging.
Correct.
And grown men.
Correct.
Crying.
Correct, and that's what I'm getting back to. I don't know, one day you and I will meet. I want to kind of pick your brain as far as where you grew up and what your background is about. But have you never traveled to Frankfort and Cobman?
No. Many times. I grew up in the Northeast.
Oh, okay. So, all right, good. So one of these days we'll hang out. We'll do a Cuban cigar and a quick beer and shoot the, you know, stuff.
That would be great, Bill.
It'd be cool. And then listen, the key for tomorrow, I'm going to place an over and under. And it's going to be, what would you take? Over and under 3, a sacking of Tom Brady.
Pressure.
I don't know what
Tom
the prop
Brady.
That is, but I'm going to put it at 3. If you sack him more than 3 times, you get a W. That's my opinion.
No, that's. I mean, I could not agree more. Bill, thank you for the call. I appreciate you listening. Yeah, pressure on Brady will be paramount. If there's one key to the game, and as Bill just mentioned, keeping that consistent pressure on Tom Brady, specifically that interior line. One thing about Brady, and I spent, you know, we've all seen Brady throughout the years, and we see, you know, but we're not living in Boston to see every single game. But over the last week, looking at film of him, not just this year, but in years past, and looking at, you know, even though he's arguably the greatest quarterback of all time. In my opinion, he is. It was always Montana for me, but Brady has surpassed him. If you pressure him from the ends and he's able to escape, he still is deadly. But if you pressure him right up the gut, he panics every single time. He either hits the deck just to avoid the big hit or he throws the ball away. And I envision if once, just once, Fletcher Cox or Tim Jernigan just get a hold of him and drop all of their body weight on top of him, his old frail body will remember that the rest of the night. And it will, I mean, it will affect him, despite his resume. 888-729-9494, #9494 on your AT&T and Verizon Wireless cell phone. You guys on hold, hang on, I want to give everybody more than enough time. What is the key to the Eagles beating New England? Something very specific, in your opinion. If they do not do this, they'll lose. Wes Euler Engineering here at the lovely Borgata right outside the Gypsy Bar in Atlantic City. Phil Jackson back at the station. Our time's 8:20. Welcome back. John Johnson filling in for Howard Eskin at the beautiful Borgata Casino and Spa in Atlantic City right outside of the Gypsy Bar. Now, as I mentioned to start the show, Howard would be joining us from Minneapolis, and we'll get. I have so many questions that I need to ask him concerning this team because they do have, as much as I feel they have the better team on the field, I worry about many distractions off the field. And Howard's on the line now. What's up, Howard? How's are you in Bloomington or Minneapolis?
I have no idea. I'm in the Mall of America, and that's where the hotel is. And I don't think that's in Bloomington. I don't know if it's in Minneapolis, but somewhere near that location. I would assume I'm kind of in Bloomington. But I don't know where the Mall of America is located.
So how's the week been for you? I mean, we have so many specifics. I'd love to get your answer on when it comes to the Eagles. But something first and foremost, I'm sure it's great covering another Super Bowl, but what is there to do in Minneapolis other than a mall?
That's the whole point. There's nothing to do. I've been outside twice in the whole week. The night of the media night on Monday night, you get on a bus and go over, and then you get on a bus and come back. And so for the short time I was out then, Tuesday night I was not. I have not been absent, actually. I'm trying to think if there was another night that I was out.
Jeez, you're probably going stir crazy then. I mean, you have the mall, and then you go, and then you take that 40-minute drive. There's nothing else.
There's nothing. There's nothing. I haven't been downtown because we're not near downtown. No, and that's why when I heard you talking about distractions.
Yes.
I know there's some distractions, but there's really nothing going on, and that's what's good. Players have. It's too cold outside. It was. Like 3 degrees the other night. It was minus yesterday morning at 6 o'clock, or not 6 o'clock, at 9 o'clock in the morning. Mm-hmm. There's really nothing to do. We're not close to down. There's nothing to do.
That's such a great thing, though.
I haven't heard about a lot of great parties. I haven't seen the celebrities, and the few that there are, and there's more football people than anybody else, mm-hmm. Are really. Only at Radio Row in those areas there to do interviews. There really is nothing, zero, going on here. And the players do have a curfew anyway. It's midnight during the week. It'll be 11 o'clock tonight.
Okay.
But really, there's nothing going on. There's nothing because it's Minnesota and there's not places to go and it's too cold. There's really nothing going on.
Well,
so I don't know if those distractions are a problem. There are none.
As much as that may stink for you and everybody covering or working for the team, that's such a huge – it's a sigh of relief for the fans. Because if it's in a sunny, warm location, that's something you have to worry about, and that's an advantage that New England would have over the Eagles, given the experience, having been in so many Super Bowls in recent years. That's great to hear.
Yeah, because there's not play. I'm sure there are places to go in Minnesota downtown, but it's not around the corner, and it's not in a warm weather city. And I don't know that you really want to go outside, especially at night.
Right.
Today, I think the high is going to be a balmy 20, where tomorrow at the high is going to be 6. But it's been in the teens and below that most of the week. And I wouldn't want to go out at night. No, it's just the players, believe it or not, the players walk the mall. That's what a lot of the players have done all week. That's really not going to get you in any kind of trouble.
That's great to hear. Howard, are you surprised? I mean, you're with the team every day. And given Doug Peterson's background as a player and the grueling practices he would have to go through, even if a team's in the playoffs and pads all week long, are you surprised he decided to keep his players out of pads this week?
Maybe. Last week he only did it for one day. So...
So almost 2 weeks, not, really.
What's that?
So almost 2 weeks, really, they haven't been in pads.
Well, yeah. Last week, didn't they do it one day last week? I'm not even sure whether they did it one day last week. I don't know. Before the Minnesota game, they did it. But no, am I surprised? No, I guess I'm not surprised. I mean, the coach has the feel of the team better than anybody else. I don't think the players might hit it. You certainly don't want to get anybody hurt. Before the game, and all these concerns of players that didn't practice because they were sick. They had a couple of guys had slight colds. They're fine. There's no problem. They're all going to play tomorrow during the game. So, I don't know that that's at this point in the year. I don't know that it's a big deal, but I'm sure there's a reference point for Doug Peterson with what. And he's researched and seen what other teams do. He knows what his teams did. Brett Favre is going to speak to the players this morning, so a little bit of a pep talk this morning at their meeting. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of things that that he knows about that he's putting into place here. And the players aren't overwhelmed with everything. Now, I know the families are in, and that could be a distraction. But instead of going home to see your families, you're here. But tonight, it's going to be lockdown. It's going to be lockdown for these guys. And I think they all understand what's ahead, so they're not going to let those distractions be a distraction, whatever they may be.
Now, and over the last 2 weeks, I've tried to look as deeply at this as I can and looking throughout the country. I can't find a single national talking head giving the Eagles a chance. Why? I mean, is it based purely on Brady Belichick alone?
Well, actually, I have heard, since there's nothing else to do here in Minnesota,
right,
except watch TV a lot of times, I've watched both networks, both the NFL Network and ESPN, and they're all talking heads. Every one of them are talking
right.
heads.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say at least 50%, and that when I say talking, the players, you know, they have players come in that are always coming to the Super Bowl that go on these shows. I would say at least 50% of those people, players, whoever they may be, have picked the Eagles.
Really?
So there are a lot of people that play the game that like the Eagles.
Right.
I like the Eagles, too. It's just I think they're a better team. They're not better at quarterback, but that means they have to pressure Brady. And they're not better at tight end, but Zach Ertz is pretty darn good. And outside of that, I think the Eagles are better in every other area of the football team. But I've seen at least 50% of these people pick the Eagles.
That's great to hear. Well, I would love to pick your brain about this because it's more of a focal point of what I'm doing while I'm filling in for you here today. What is an X factor for a key for the Eagles to beat New England? Something very specific that they absolutely have to do, and if they don't, they'll likely lose.
Well, there's two things, and it's not rocket science. The game is not rocket science when you get to this point. Everybody knows what you have to do. Number one, they have to get the break. Well, no, number one is they can't turn the ball over. Mm-hmm. That's the first thing. And I'm sure they've addressed that during the week, and players know it, but you emphasize it, ball security. That's number one. Turnovers are an absolute killer. Number two, they have to get the Brady, which I think they can do, and they hope they can do it with just four-man pressure because Jim Schwartz is not going to blitz that much, but he will against Brady. So those are the two things I look at. And then if you go to a third thing, they've got to protect Nick Foles, which they have done well. They have the defense normally wins this game. I tweeted this out last night. 16 times in Super Bowl history, mm-hmm. as the top five offense played the top five defense. And the Eagles, the Patriots are the top five offense. Eagles are the top five defense. 11 of those 16 times, the defensive team won the game. Six of the last seven,
wow.
the defensive team has won the game.
That's a superb
so
stat.
It really, in this game, and I don't think the Eagles win. I think the Patriots score 20 or less, and that's what I think is going to happen. They'll score 20 or less. They really shouldn't have gotten as many points as they did last week against Jacksonville. And Jacksonville's a good defense. You can move the ball on the Patriots, and I think the Eagles will be able to do that. Again, it comes down to turnovers.
Mm-hmm.
But defense wins these things, and the Eagles are clearly, absolutely, positively a better defense. And Brady is 40 years old.
Right.
So let's not lose sight of that fact. If you don't give him time, he's not mobile. He's not going to move around. You've got to hit him. Like I said, it's not deep secrets on the things that you have to do, and I think the things that the Eagles will do. And I think the MVP award, I know the Hall of Fame comes out tonight.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the MVP award was last night or tonight. If the quarterback wins, and I think Brady will probably win, although I think it should be Carson Wentz, the quarterback wins the last seven times that the MVP quarterback has played in the Super Bowl. He has lost.
Oh, I hope he wins MVP then. I want Brady to win.
Yeah, that's right. You want Brady to win the MVP award. You absolutely do.
Now, Howard, I had a bunch of questions lined up for you, but we're kind of stuck for time here. So I just want to hear what you have to say when it comes to this final one. If the Eagles win Sunday night, will you seek out your son and hug him? Like, who is the first person you will think of if they win the Super Bowl? Because it's something we've never experienced.
Last night. You got here last night.
Yeah, it's different, though. I mean, if they win
the
Super Bowl.
It's going to be hard. Here's the difference. Would I hug him? I don't even. It's like,
stop. It's still father, son.
First of all, I'm not going to be able to find him. He's in the stands.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm on the field. It's going to be such chaos on the field. And after the game, after the broadcast, the problem is I don't know that I can enjoy it as much as other people because my first order of business when the Eagles win is to find interviews players and just interview players on the field while Merrill and Mike come down and join me. Mm-hmm. So there's not a lot of time at that moment. Now, I'll see him later. I'll see him well after the game. But that would not be the first thing I would do, would not be to hug my son, because he's my boss anyway. So,
hey, well, maybe you can look out. You know who you'll probably see there? I asked Joel Embiid last night. He's going to be at the game.
Who?
Joel Embiid. Joel's coming, your buddy.
Yeah, I guess, well, I know that he wanted to come. I guess, well, he's going to have a private plane to get here, and I know he's going to fly in the best case. They play tonight, and then when do they play after
that? They don't play again until Tuesday. They're back home Tuesday.
Oh, okay. So,
and by the way, the Eagles have never lost when he's attended a game.
Okay.
There's your stat of the day.
Well, he'll be tired because he's going to play back-to-back games, right?
That's right. That is the plan.
Yeah, so he'll be tired. You know what? He will not be on the field. I guarantee you that. He'll be in a suite somewhere. So I don't know that I'll see him, but he'll be in a suite somewhere.
All right. Thank you, Howard, so much for joining us. I know you'll be back on these duties.
Enjoy the Borgata, John.
All right. Thanks, Howard Eskin, joining us. And, of course, I'm filling in for Howard this morning at the lovely Borgata Casino and Spa in Atlantic City, right outside of the Gypsy Bar. Come on down if you can. We're only here another 90 minutes, but if you have the opportunity to come on by and say hello, please feel free. 888-729-9494, #9494, and your AT&T and Verizon wireless cell phone. You guys on hold, I appreciate you sticking on. I'm going to get to you on the other side. I will squeeze in a little Sixers here or there as I do cover the team. I was there last night. There is a handful of tidbits that we'll squeeze in before the show is out. But the focus, how could it not be? We're a day away from the Super Bowl. In your opinion, what is the key to the Eagles beating New England? Something very specific. You can't lay out 50 things for me. One thing where you say, if they do not do this, they're going to lose. But if they do, we could very well have our first Lombardi. You're more than welcome to tweet the show, @JohnJohnsonWIP, J-O-N Johnson W-I-P. I see a couple tweets. I'll read them on the other side as well. Our time's 8:40. Welcome back, 94WIP. John Johnson filling in for Howard Eskin at the beautiful Borgata Casino and Spa in Atlantic City. In all honesty, you know, those who listen to me know I won't BS you. You know, I have three young kids at home, and for my wife and I to get out for an evening or, you know, we can't get out much, I'll put it to you that way, between what I do for a living and then having three young kids. Finding someone to babysit three young kids, especially occasionally for an overnight, I mean, it's, you know, it's once in a blue moon thing. So when we go away, it's just for a night, and it's locally. And I had never, up until a couple years ago, I had never been to the Borgata. And, you know, I'd always go elsewhere, and I'd say, oh, well, you know, we'll go down to Lake City. We'll just stay somewhere overnight. We'll get away. It's peace of mind and whatever. And it wasn't until I filled in for Rhea on a random Friday for the morning show that I actually walked into the Borgata for the first time. And to be completely honest, it blew me away. I mean, just how nice it is here, how clean it is here, how everything looks like it's a fresh coat of paint. Everything looks like it was just freshly cleaned. It makes all the difference in the world. And then, you know, seeing the A-list entertainment they have here and the food to boot was like the icing on the cake. So I highly suggest if you're coming down, or you should come down here and stay at the Borgata. 888-729-9494, #9494 on your AT&T and Verizon wireless cell phone. Real quick, before I head back to the phones, a couple people have tweeted the show with the key to the game for the Eagles, something they absolutely have to do no matter what. If they want to beat the Patriots, come tomorrow night. Who did I have here? I lost track. Norm tweets the show. For the Eagles to win, they need to rush for over 100 yards. Keep the Patriots' offense off the field. As basic as that sounds, and, you know, it's funny, as Howard called it and said it, sometimes the simplistic things, you don't have to overthink it. And one easy way to do it, and we have the running back grouping to be able to accomplish that, I think you need more than 100 yards. You need like 170 if you want to be closer to assuring a victory. You need those long, drawn-out drives. I like that. You're welcome to tweet the show. I see a couple of the tweets. I'll read more as the show goes on. John's on WIP. John, thank you for holding. Yo, John.
Yo.
What's up, man? Thanks for holding.
No problem. Yo, I agree with the tweet you just said.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm going to tell you why.
Okay.
If you keep Brady off the field in that no huddle offense, I'm gonna tell you this.
Mm-hmm.
The Eagles' offensive line is by far better than the Patriot defensive line. If you can blow holes in that line and start running that football, that keeps Brady off the field. That negates everything the Patriots want to do.
No, you're right. And one of the things that Brady's been so good at this year, especially when they're down and he's starting to feel a rhythm, he'll go into that no huddle and keep the same personnel on defense on the field, which tires them. And one thing the Eagles are great at is rotating personnel and keeping everybody fresh. So you're absolutely right. So, such an underrated aspect, which you're pointing out about the Eagles' offensive line, is how athletic they are. Specifically, Jason Kelce, who I remember saying, a year ago, saying, boy, we got to get rid of Jason Kelce. He's undersized. He was protected, by bigger guards around him for so many years, and he's finally getting exposed. And I could not be happier to be proven wrong this season. If you look so many, whether it's a simple screen pass or a running play, he's the lead blocker. And he's running at the same pace, speed as the running back, and he's bowling over people. His value to this team is so underrated, and I cannot believe he wasn't a Pro Bowler.
Exactly. And what I'm saying is, stop and think about this. If you keep Brady and that no-huddle offense off the field, then the Eagles' defense will be rested at every rep.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. They won't have to substitute.
Mm-hmm. No, you're right. And, John, I appreciate the call. One thing, and I'm not trying to rain on anybody's parade. This is the reality of the situation. And of the game tomorrow night. One thing I always think about is how do you stop Rob Gronkowski? And we know what a physical specimen he is. He's just under 6'7". He's 265 pounds. And he can run, and he bowls over people. There's not a single player who can stop him. It's a question of containing him. And then, I looked at so much tape of him over the last week, not just this year, but years where he wasn't hurt. And just looking at Gronk and how effective he is, and, no matter what type of scheme or pairing you throw up against him, double coverage, he will get his. There's no doubt about it. He and Brady, they will both get theirs. It comes down to stopping them at key possessions and key moments in a game and key downs in a game. Like if Gronk has 7 receptions and he's got 90 yards, but his 8th reception could have been a touchdown. And you're able to prevent that 8th reception, which puts them in a field goal attempt. That could be the difference right there. He's going to get his. It comes down to how are you able to contain him in crucial situations, which is something I am both excited and extremely nervous to see come tomorrow night. Tommy Nexton's on WIP. What's up, Tommy? How you been, man?
Man, good, John. Could you hear me okay? I got
yeah.
Some headphones on.
No, you're good.
First off, man, I love the extra airtime you're getting. I know you got a lot more responsibilities there, but, man, it's always good when you're on air, brother.
Thanks, Tommy.
I wanted to get on before Eskin, but I guess can you ask Howard? He's going to be on the sideline for the game, right?
Yes.
Before the game, can you ask him to check the goalpost for Crisco? We don't want the Pats getting away with nothing up there, man, taking any of our ideas. A little lighthearted attempted humor.
No, I get
man,
it.
Man, I held my – I didn't tweet or post or any – I don't really tweet, but I didn't all week. I don't know if I was in a daze. Mm-hmm. But man, I woke up this morning, 4:30 in the morning. A couple of my friends were already putting out, just to fly, Eagles fly. Man, it's on, but I'm going to – this is a little self-analysis of myself, and I don't mean to control the conversation. I have the answers to your question. But the difference between now – and I don't like to look back in the past just because of my own self – mm-hmm. But the difference between now and 04, I believe, is you're not afraid of – we didn't go there 3 times and lose. This could be the first of many. But also, it's the confidence knowing we're not going to be looking for timeouts. That we're – and I'm not – all due respect to everyone on 04. We all know the story. But, it's a different feeling. It's not a we're not going into games nervous. We're going in, hey, we can really win this.
Well, and you look back, Tommy, and it comes down to that 0-4 team was built to win a Super Bowl. You know, they added talent to be able to go over the top, so the pressure was there week one. You expected them, as great as it was, you expected them to be in the Super Bowl and hopefully win it, where this came out of nowhere. You had no idea.
Yeah.
And they exceeded every possible expectation. They proved so many people wrong, including myself. And they overcame every possible obstacle in terms of injuries to players of vital importance at vital positions. I cannot recall ever a team overcoming injuries to keep players at certain positions the way they have and improve as the season went on.
It's the next gen of, as the kids would say, of the Patriots. If we win on Sunday, we're to be the best, beating the best. No one could ever say anything. We beat the best to be the best. That's why I want Brady in there. Yeah, I want him to rough him up, but I want him in there the whole game. I want, whatever. It's just such a different feeling all over the city. And, you love walking into the Wawa. Yo. Hey, man, I parked a little close to a guy last night. And I'm like, sorry, man. He goes, dude, you can park on top of my car as long as the Eagles win on Sunday. Key to the game.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say, you know what I'm going to go with? I'm going with special teams. I just think the field position, not necessarily field goals and all, but, the Honey Jones pinning them down, doing our thing. I mean, that's it. And E-A-G-L-E-S, let's go.
All right, Tommy, I appreciate the call. Special teams will be of vital importance. I'm looking more at Jake Elliott than I am field positions. I think the Eagles will be able to move the ball on this Patriots defense, which they're not even average. They're a bad defense. So I am expecting the Eagles to be able to move the ball offensively. It's how they will contain defensively. More to what Tommy was saying, when you're seeing people on the street, and I can only speak from my point of view, and I've been in the broadcasting field in sports now for 13 years, which is a lot to some and very little to others, and at a certain point, it doesn't feel like work, but you look at things differently because you're doing it every day. You're seeing stuff behind closed doors that other people won't see. You're looking at players and coaches in a different light, and just everything changes. So you don't totally lose the fan inside you, but you're able to separate yourself, if you understand what I'm saying. And this week, I haven't been able to contain myself. I can't. I'm finding it so difficult to separate the fan from the objective reporter, because it feels like it's meant to be, everything that they have done. And then you look at the matchups for Super Bowl Sunday and you're saying, my goodness, they overcame so much to get here, and they manhandled Minnesota. And I look at this matchup, whether it's individually or groupings, I'm like, the Eagles are a better team than the New England Patriots. I know the Patriots have the X factor of experience, and they have arguably the greatest head coach and quarterback of all time. But everything that the Eagles have done and overcame, and the X factor, that key, which for me, which I stated at the start of the show, the one thing the Eagles have to do is give New England zero respect, and that all falls on Doug Peterson and his aggressiveness. And I think we have the perfect coach that will not give them the respect and run up the scoreboard and say, who are they? Oh, we're up 21-3? No, I want a touchdown. Don't settle for a field goal. Don't kneel down on the ball because it's close to half. Let's run away with this now. Do not take your foot off the pedal. It's such an exciting feeling knowing that we are the better team. Let me calm myself down. 888-729-9494, pound 9494 on your AT&T and Verizon wireless cell phone. You guys on hold, I see you there. I apologize. I'll get in every single one of you coming up. You're more than welcome to tweet the show at John Johnson, WIP, J-O-N Johnson, WIP. Our time is 8:59.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.